Praise God. Praise God. We thank the Lord for another opportunity to be before you. And I just want you to know how immensely blessed you are today. Amen. To sit and hear the blessed word of God. Before we get started with anything, let us look heavenward. Won't you pray with me? Now, dear and righteous, all blessed God, our Father, Lord, we thank you for another time of illumination, Lord, enlightenment by your blessed Spirit as we look into your blessed word. Cause all of us to know today, Lord, that it is you that give knowledge and give understanding. It is you, Lord, to give revelation and insight into your blessed word, whereof we are blessed. It informs us that we are eternally blessed. Now bless your people, Lord, these here, those that are yet making their way, and your people everywhere, those over the internet ways, Lord, bless God. We pray that our journey in time will be more fruitful and more peaceful. To thy glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. The second chapter, and for a text, I want to deal with verses 6 and 7. But to keep it in context, we're going to go to verse 1 of the second chapter of Colossians. When you saw me writing, I was writing down some scriptural verses to back up what our pastor is saying. We don't say anything through conjecture or supposition without the Word of God to back it up. Grammatically, yes, we go to and use the grammar. Contextually, we take the context. And historically, we look at who the Lord was talking to, amen, and in what dispensation and according to what covenant he was saying what he was saying. Praise God. But just before I go to verse, have our reader, which is Ella Nickerson, read verse 6 and 7. In Matthew 4 and 23, it says, our Lord Jesus preached in the synagogues. I'm somewhat paraphrasing, not the entire word-for-word verse. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And that was when he had taught the disciples to pray. He said, pray ye therefore after this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and so on. And that will be Israel's prayer when they are in their distresses during the tribulation. In Matthew 6 and 14, this is why you have to divide, write to divide the scriptures, and you have to exegete. You have to let the gospel belong to the covenant or contract that God intended it, whichever gospel it was. And you have to let the covenant or contract or testament belong to the dispensation that God intended it and assigned it to. In the kingdom gospel, which our Lord Jesus was saying in Matthew 6 and 14, again paraphrasing, he said, for if ye forgive not men their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses against him. That's according to the kingdom gospel. But grace speaks on this wise in Ephesians 4 and 32. It said, being ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have already, as indicative, forgiven you. We are already forgiven. We're not trying to go nowhere. We're not trying to get anywhere. We are already in Christ, and we have already been forgiven all our sin and trespasses.
Yes.
We are blameless. Amen. And without fault before Him in love. All right. Ellen Nixon, do you have just, that would be the appetizer, you could say. Ellen Nixon, you have Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We're going to read it, Elder, from the King James Version.
Yes, I have it.
All right. Everyone have that? Let's say amen. Okay. Elder, Colossians 2, beginning verse 6, then verse 7, from the King James Version, read away.
Verses 6 and 7 from King James Version. As ye have therefore received Christ,
all right,
Christ Jesus.
This is Colossians. This is a letter to the Colossian saints. And he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. He's not talking about when he came and preached the gospel in the city of Colossae. But we'll bring that out later. If ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what?
So walk ye in him.
Walk, a present imperative, a present command, but it's not like the Ten Commandments of law. Do this, do that. And then the inference is, if you don't, ho, 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 ho. Amen. But this is a command of grace. Receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, Elder.
Rooted and built up.
Rooted. You all know about roots. Tree roots, grass roots, weed roots. Rooted.
And built up in him.
And built up in him. We'll clear all this up. We're coming back to it.
And established in the faith.
Established. Rooted. This sounds good even in King James. Root without exegesis. Rooted. Built up. Where? In him. And established. You know how y'all, when we first got on a job, we wanted to either get our 90 days in or our 30 days or whatever the case was and get in the union. And then we felt established. Established in the faith. What, Ella?
As ye have been taught.
As you have been taught. That's not talking about Paul, but we'll bring it out later.
Abounding therein.
Abounding therein.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Thank you, Elder. Pastor was dead on target. Amen. We're going to minister from our gospel, our contract. Now, you didn't hear anybody say that nobody's going to hell if they don't do it like this, if they don't do it like that, if they don't believe it the way I believe it. Amen. God has his people that don't even know grace. And we're going to, I want to put this thought in your mind today. Here I go again. Eternal provision. Eternal provision. I remember when I went on vacation last month, or earlier this month, and we went a couple of places, and after we had gone so long, I was doing pretty good provision-wise at first, but after a while, my provision started depleting, and I started looking northwestward. But you don't have to worry about this running out. It's set. It's settled. It's done. Eternal provision. In actualization. Testimony of it through the mystery, the gospel that the Lord resurrected, ascended Lord Jesus Christ revealed exclusively, not to Pete and Paul, exclusively to the Apostle Paul, to deliver to the grace church, not the kingdom church, not Adam and Eve, not Israel around the mount, but to the grace church, which is his spiritual body. Eternal provision and actualization, testimony of it through the mystery. The mystery informs us of our eternal provision and actualization. In other words, the gospel of grace and manifestation. We have to differentiate between actualization in eternity by God's decree from manifestation in time. Actualization is what God has decreed before He created time. In eternity, God decreed everything that is, and that which would manifest, show up, we see it in time. Listen to this. I did this last time. I know I raised some eyebrows, but we're going to back up every statement because it is scripturally deduced. The life we live, or our life on earth, is not an end in itself. No, you're not done when you're dead, especially God's people. You're just beginning. It's temporary. Christ is our life. Hallelujah. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our existence or our being. We exist in Christ. He is our life. Praise God. Not this temporary manifested life that we have in these bodies. We have the eternal life of Christ in eternality. Number two, don't be afraid of dying. Try not to be. Dying, listen carefully, dying is part of God's process in natural earthly physical life. It's part of the process. God decreed that we live in these bodies for a time, and then that we would exit these bodies after we have finished time, His purpose for us to manifest in time. It is just, dying is just the vehicle, or better, the process that our Heavenly Father, now I could have used God there, but I use Heavenly Father to make it more personal and endearing. Dying is just the vehicle or the process that our Heavenly Father uses to transfer us out of physicality and time into eternality and spiritual heavenly consciousness. That's all death is. It's God's process of taking us out conscious-wise of time into the consciousness of spirituality and eternality, which are, or which is, right now. We abide right now in the body of Christ. Right now. Spiritually. Number three. All the workings, or the works of God, including salvation, are not and were not performed nor completed in the temporary, changing, unstable, created sphere of time. God's workings were not performed nor completed in time, but in eternity. They were accomplished in eternity. Time is for manifestation only. The eternal God created time to manifest His workings to all creation and us. Amen. All right. Eternal provision and actualization. Testimony or evidence. Evidence or testimony of it through the mystery, the gospel of grace in manifestation, or as God showed unto us. Saints of God, I said before that the Lord has to reveal the mystery unto his people. If God does not reveal it to one of his dear ones, they will never be able to receive it. God is the dispenser of knowledge and illumination. We hear around here all the time, who is the teacher? And we know now the answer, the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives illumination or calls the light clicker to come on. Praise God. Paul said, beginning verse 1 of Colossians 2, for I desire you to know. I desire you to know. He's saying to the Colossian saints. He's writing this letter. I desire you to know. And Paul is under no illusion that their knowing comes from him. The gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, he didn't know it until it was revealed to him. What we have here in this word knowing and having known is called the perfect tense. It is a completed action by God. This is what, did I not say eternal provision? Paul and I and you and I were not there to eternally provide in the flesh. And we were in the spirit, in the body of Christ, but we were not there to provide anything in our manifested life. The perfect tense, a past completed action with ongoing results, or the results continue right down to the present. This knowing was not of Paul. This is what God had already decreed for these Colossian saints to know. And Pastor Cutler, and Deacon Gavin, and Elder Nickerson, and Elder Liverman, and Minister Sister Liverman, praise God, we were all, and others of you, we were decreed to receive and understand certain parts and aspects of the mystery, the volume of truth that the Lord delivered unto Paul. We were decreed to. When I was at our other assembly, and our former pastor exited physicality and were manifested in the body of Christ. I didn't say actualized, I say manifested. We are there now. We're manifested in the body of Christ. The Lord revealed unto me the gospel of the grace of God, and the Lord calls me to follow that gospel which he had caused me to love. So, I'm not here for popularity. Somebody say, I know that's right. Not here for the bigness, as you can see. I'm here by God's own decree for this mystery truth gospel. All right. For I desire you, he says unto them, to know, having known. If God had not decreed them to know in eternity in actualization, they would not know in time. And that's the way many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are right now. They are indeed in the body of Christ. They are elect and precious. They are beloved of the Father. But this knowledge have not been, at least in manifestation as we see it right now, many of them has not been, for God's own purpose, revealed unto them. What have you, Paul asked in Corinthians, that you did not receive? We received knowledge of this. So if you received it, why are you going to act like you didn't receive it? Or you got it by your own innate ability? No, we received it. We were caused to receive it. So let's not get impatient or out of hand with our brothers and our sisters. If it's for them to receive, they will receive it. However, They are accepted of the Lord and beloved. I desire you to know how great a struggle, and this is a prayer Paul is praying. He's not in his bedroom with all his resources about him. He is in prison. And this is where this Colossian letter was written from. So was Ephesians and Philippians. He was in prison. How great a struggle I have for or on behalf of you and the ones or the in Laodicea or the saints that were in Laodicea and as many as have not and do not see the face of me in the flesh. Again, two things here. These ones that have not seen Paul's face in the flesh,
yes.
God decreed that.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
This is an indicative perfect. It's a perfect fact, or the perfect tense and the indicative mood. The indicative mood is a fact. Again, the perfect tense is a completed action that only God could complete in eternity with ongoing results, and the results come right down to the present. So, they had not seen him, and they did not have to see him in the flesh. God had decreed that they would know this gospel, what the Lord had provisioned for them in eternity. They didn't see his face in the flesh. Verse 2. In order that maybe having been. I told you all about exegesis the last time I was before you. You can be a child of God. You can be in the body of Christ. But in order to have a good understanding of the conveyance of what the Holy Spirit is giving the body of Christ, the church, in gospel, in good news, you have to do some exegeting. If you don't exegete, and you're somewhere reading in a contract that's not yours, if you're reading in Genesis, praise God, you got four dispensations in Genesis, and each one of them have their own contract, and each one of them have their own gospel. They, in that dispensation of innocence, praise God, God has a contract with Adam and Eve. When they broke it and they realized they were naked, conscience came in, another dispensation. Then with Noah, didn't tell Noah nothing about don't eat of no particular tree. He told Noah to build a boat. And God determined who would come in. And then he closed them in. They were his elect. And then Abraham in conscience. God didn't walk in Ur of the Chaldees and say, everybody, guys, come on. No, 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 no. Promise. Promise.
Amen.
He did not walk in Ur of the Chaldees and promise and say, everybody, come on. He walked in. God spoke to one man, Abraham, and told him, come out from among his kindred to a land that I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you. Hallelujah. But none of that was told unto us. Our gospel speaks unto us the eternal heavenly view, what God has already wrought for us in eternity. So we not nowhere. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. You're not coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Doing my best to make it in. You are in. You are already in the body of Christ right now. You're not on your way to heaven. You abide right now in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm going to Ephesians 1 and 1 through 4 shortly. In order that maybe having been comforted, the fact that we are comforted is according to God's provision of it in eternity. This is a subjunctive aorist. It is a past completed probability. You say, well, Deke, where the probability? The probability is in its manifestation in time. Who and to what degree the Lord has determined already in eternity that you would be comforted. That maybe having been comforted, encouraged, consoled, cheered up. Anybody need cheering up ever? Anybody ever need consoling? Hallelujah. Encouragement. The hearts of them, having been brought together, here we go again. I told you I was going to talk about God's eternal provision and actualization. Having been brought together, the saints in Laodicea and the saints in Colossae and in their respective cities or regions, praise God, the Lord had determined that they would be brought together in love. It's no accident, saints, when we meet another one in their course and the Lord calls us to take heart one with another. That's God's doing. That's been preordained. So, having been brought together in love, and with each and every richness or enrichment of the full assurance of the understanding to knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. Now, this word rich, when we see rich in the Bible, the first thing we think of is physicality. Mucho money-o and plenty of it and hurry up-y-o. Praise God. But that is not the word that is being used here. Riches is not the word. In your Bible, it probably has the word riches. But that's not the word that's used here. It's a noun. But it has the absence of the definite article, the. The definite article is not there. So it's each and every singular enrichment or richness. And it's not talking about physicality. It's talking about spirituality. Of the full assurance. This is how we've been blessed. The full assurance means that we've been confirmed. We have been, praise God, upheld. We have been completed in Christ. In full assurance of the understanding. Understanding is comprehension and insight. If you understand, it's because God has given you the illumination.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Understanding to and in knowledge. Knowledge is recognition of consciousness. Knowledge means to know. Uh-huh. And understanding is insight and comprehension. Insight is that critical faculty of how we evaluate people and things. Understanding. Insight. The critical faculty of how we evaluate people and things, and get this one, circumstances. That is one of the believer's biggest trip-ups. How we evaluate circumstances.
Amen.
Praise God. Those things that don't come out of fate, because there's no such thing as fate. It is what God has decreed in our course. And there are circumstances that the Lord has put in our course, each and every one of us.
Yeah.
How we evaluate them. Do we look at them and say, oh my God, what is this? Or we look at them and say, oh Lord, what is this for?
Oh, God.
Praise God. What is it for? There's nothing that come upon the child of God that God has not purposed. He is God. Your salvation is complete. He loves you. You're precious to Him. Nothing comes upon you. So, saints of God, Paul has prayed according to the Holy Spirit and God's eternal working. that we come to a full assurance of the understanding of the knowledge. And of the knowledge is talking about of the mystery of God Christ. In other words, Paul had just said that we come to the knowledge of understanding and full assurance of the mystery of Christ, which is our gospel. And that's what Pastor was talking about before we went into the song service. Your gospel, the mystery. The law was Israel's truth, a gospel. The kingdom gospel that the Lord Jesus preached, that was Israel's truth. The earthly Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom. Look at it, Matthew 4 and 23. He did not preach the gospel of the grace of God. He delivered in Revelation that to the Apostle Paul to give unto the grace church after he had ascended into the heavenlies. Of the mystery of Christ. There's nothing even in this, and I won't go into it much. It said the mystery of God, Christ. Sometimes we try to split the Godhead, three persons in the Godhead. No, my friend. The mystery of God, Christ. Hallelujah. The mystery is our truth. Every child of God is not preaching or teaching or understanding the mystery. We have to leave that to the Lord. We only know it, receive it, and understand it because the Lord has decreed it for us. We don't diminish it. We share it. We give it. But we don't beat no one across the head with it. In love, we minister that truth which the Lord have given us illumination and enlightenment of. Elder Reed, number 3. You can read it from the interlinear. Colossians 2 and 3.
Colossians 2 and 3.
All right, it ended saying of the God Christ. Listen at verse 3.
In whom are all...
Christ, in whom are all...
The treasures of wisdom.
The treasures of wisdom.
And of knowledge.
And of knowledge.
Hidden.
Hidden. Secret. Stored away. Mystery.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In whom are all treasures. Not earthly treasures that decay and for a time. Either they separate from us or we separate from them. Out of time. A wisdom. God is the personification of wisdom and all knowledge. All knowledge. It extends from God. Verse 4, Elder.
This I say. In order that
no one of you
may beguile with persuasive speech.
Or being beguiled with persuasive speech. Paul is showing us where the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in the mystery of God Christ, so that you will not be beguiled with attractive speech coming from somebody else's covenant in another dispensation, taking promises, at least head-wise, not having-wise, from another contract that not been promised to you. Saints of God, we have not been promised not one square inch of this earth.
Amen.
Our earthly blessings are not the physical blessings of money and provision, got the bills paid, car to drive, kids okay and everything. Those are not our predominant blessings.
Amen.
Our blessings are in Christ Jesus where we abide right now.
Amen.
We're talking about spiritually here. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Paul was beholding their order in one of the earlier verses. He was beholding their order in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When you're talking spiritually, throw fleshly and physicality out the window. You know how when we were going to school, some of you all that sort of my age, I'm over 30, we used to make those little blow things and put spitballs in them and wind up there and put it and poof. Throw physicality out the window when you're talking spirituality. Paul was in jail, but yet he was spiritually connected and with those believers.
Amen.
Let me corroborate. Corroborate again means go somewhere else and get testimony from there to strengthen the main testimony. I'm going to the Synoptic Gospels or the Kingdom Gospel. At the end of Matthew 28 and 20, paraphrasing, the Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles that, lo, I am with you always. Now, he had, after that, he ascended into the heavens. But he told them, lo, I'm with you always, spiritually. Praise God. There's no space and no matter in spirituality. Amen. It's not ruled by the same principles of physicality. So he was with them. And that's why right now, as we are sitting here right now, we are in manifestation, in flesh, in time, in church, on Sunday, and yet we abide right now in the body of Christ.
Yes.
It just not manifested unto us. We don't see it. We have physical earthly consciousness. Amen. But we shall receive heavenly spiritual consciousness when God takes us out of these bodies. All right, verse 4, Ella. Finish that up, Ella.
Verse 4.
This I say.
Mm-hmm. In order that no one you.
Not one of you.
Beguile. With persuasive speech.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5.
For indeed. In the flesh. I am absent.
And he was. He was in prison, in jail.
Yet.
I am absent, but.
Yet in the spirit.
In the spirit.
With you.
I am.
Rejoicing.
And I'm rejoicing. He is spiritually with them and rejoicing, even though he was in a prison. And doing what?
And seeing of you. The order.
Order.
And the firmness. Of the in Christ. Faith of you.
Your faith is in Christ. Praise God. It's about him, our consciousness, about him, of him, in him. Now, I want to corroborate something. I said earlier that your blessings, the best of your blessings, the most of your blessings are not in physicality. I made some statements at the beginning. And we're going to, if I didn't back them up yet, we're going to back up every one of them right now. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start at the first verse. Ellie, you read from the King James, and I'll take the Millennial.
Paul. An apostle of Jesus Christ,
owned of Christ, belonged to Christ.
By the will of God. To the saints.
Which are at Ephesus.
And to the faithful that are in Christ.
You're not in yourself faithful. I went the last time we were before you to Romans 3, verse 9 through 12. And show that we don't seek after God, we don't understand in ourselves, but we are in Christ, and therein is the faithfulness imputed unto us, or faithful imputed unto us. All right, verse 2.
Grace be to you. And from God. Our Father.
Hallelujah.
And from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace to you and peace. From God, our Father. Every one of us in here had an earthly father, according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I had one. But this is not talking about your fleshly father. This is your father according to your eternal spirit. God is spirit.
Yeah.
And you were in, well, let's let the word talk. Now, get down to the nitty gritty.
I'm ready.
Elder, read verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father.
I tell you what, Elder, go to the interlinear on this one.
Blessed the God and Father. Of the Lord of us.
Jesus Christ.
The one having blessed us.
The one aorist tense, having already blessed us.
Right.
He blessed us from eternity, where he chose us, where he placed us into the body of Christ. Our true abode is in eternality in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You are just manifested in time, for time, until God manifests you out of time.
Amen.
Into eternity.
Amen.
That's it. In time, for time.
Yes.
But we are eternally in Christ. This is what every child of God thinks. I'm born, and then I grow up, and I might go to church, and I hear the gospel, and understand it, and accept Jesus, now I'm on my way to heaven. Nothing can be further from your course. You were baptized in Christ by one Spirit before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
By one Spirit. Word. It ain't water here. We all baptized into the one body of Christ. That one that believed the grace doctrine, and the one that don't. That one that understand the mystery, and the one that don't. That one that have heard of the gospel of grace, and the one that haven't. We are all baptized. God made selection and election of you before he created the worlds, the universe. And then he placed you. Don't make me go to Hebrews 12 and 4, 2 and 14. And he placed you in time. With me, it was 19. Praise God. I told you I was over 30. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. The one who what, Elder? Having blessed us. In what?
Okay.
Well, I'll take it up. In each and every blessing spiritual, we have already been blessed in each and every blessing spiritual. When I can no longer receive my pension, if it's still there, I ain't even talking about Social Security. I'm spiritually blessed in Christ.
Amen.
Every spiritual blessing in eternality, we have. We are possessors of. You're not gonna get. We already have it. All physicality will be dissipated.
Yeah.
All physicality.
Mm-hmm.
But we are eternally, spiritually in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't be wondering how all those folk gonna get in Christ. That's physicality.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be there like, would you move over? Give me some room here. No! Spirit! Remember the Lord Jesus told him, say, I'm with you always spiritually. Paul said, I am rejoicing and beholding your order spiritually. Praise God. Our true existence is spirituality. Our manifested existence is physicality. You belong to Christ before the universe was created. If it was a big, I don't want to argue with no scientist. If it was a big bang, you were in Christ before bang.
I hear you.
Hallelujah. Bless us in each and every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies in Christ.
In Christ Jesus, where we abide right now. Christ is our life. We abide in him. Verse 4, Elder.
Verse 4. As he chose us.
As he chose. Aorist tense. As he chose
us. In him.
In him. Spiritually. spiritually.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before creation. Before Adam ate the apple that his wife Eve gave him. Before the serpent snuck in. Before all physicality. Before the forming of the universe, the planets, the solar system, the galaxies.
Yes.
He chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world. Not to be holy, but being holy when he chose us. Holy means separated. God's choice separated us from other people.
Amen.
It's not our doing. We okay because we believe, and they didn't. Not like that. God chose you before you came in flesh that you would be his. That choice separated you from those that were not his.
Amen.
That's God's business. Chose us in him holy.
Holy and unblemished.
And unblemished. We have Christ's righteousness in his body, his spiritual body. And before him, how, Elder?
In love.
In love. Back, and I'm going to finish up real quick. Verses 6 and 7. 6 and 7.
Of Ephesians?
I'm going to take it from here, Elder. Thank you.
Okay.
As, or therefore as. Now we see that the firmness, or the order and the firmness of the in Christ faith of us. And he said, now, therefore, superordinating conjunction, therefore, just as, or just like, you received, and that's an indicative aorist. We received him, and he received us. Colossians 2 and 6.
Yes.
Received us. And we were called to receive him. We're in him. The Christ Jesus, the Lord. In him, we walk. Imperative presence.
Yes.
We are commanded to walk. Being and having been firmly rooted. That's a perfect tense in the passive voice. You're getting rooted in Christ is not about what you do, how long you study, what institution of religious study you go to. It is what the Lord has already performed. And build it up. We've already been built up in him. And being confirmed, it means that we have been strengthened. We've been sustained. We've been verified, approved to be true. Are we in Christ? Verified. True. Are we his? Verified. True. Do he love us? Verified. True. In the faith, as ye were taught. Again, that is not Paul's teaching unto them. That is what God decreed in eternity. This indeed is an indicative aorist passive. Passive voice? You got hands off of it. It's done to you. You're not doing it. Indicative mood again? It's a fact. A fact is a thing that's done or completed. How could it be a fact? It'd be a work in progress, but it cannot be a fact unless you can assess it. So, yes, that's done. And the aorist tense, a past completed action, abounding in thanksgiving and thankfulness. Praise God. That's why the Lord gave the gospel. Not to save us. That was done, as we just read in Ephesians 1 and 4. That was done in eternity. He chose us in him in eternity before the foundation of the world. But God's gospel was preordained and administered in the created entity of time to a man named Paul, or Saul, became Paul, to inform us. Everything that we need to know for our well-being in our course, while the Lord is taking us through time on a course individually, it's in our gospel. Every incident that we encounter, every circumstance that we encounter, it is dealt with as we are informed in the mystery, our gospel. So when we have a problem, when we have a circumstance, when we have a dilemma. We look into the mystery. We are in Christ, and the perfect knowledge is in Him, and we abide there, and we say, Lord,
yes.
What in the world is this? No. We say, Lord, what is this for? And indeed, everything that God brings us in contact with or associated with is for purpose. And that ultimate purpose is His glory. Us losing a job, gaining a job. Us failing, flunking, us accelerating. Everything is ultimately to God's eternal glory. Praise God. All right, saints of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate and enlighten your minds. And we're going to leave God's precious word with you. God bless you.
Well, let's give God a big praise in that. Such rich, 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 rich words. Such illumination and elucidation. Oh, my God. I pray that God's people will receive the comprehension of such a glorious, glorious blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. Having heard this message, we illuminate it.